If I tell you the word glory, what picture comes to your mind when you hear that word glory? We kind of talked in the kids' class this morning about hidden treasure, you know. And that's kind of an interesting thing. We picture a treasure chest just heaping with jewels and gold coins and things like that. Not all about you, but when I think of glory, I can't think of any words or expressions that would justify what true glory is. It's beyond the meager words of humanity to describe or explain glory. So this morning, we're going to talk about the glory of our salvation. No, it's not going to be a hellfire brimstone lesson this morning for once. It's going to be what I perceive to be a very joyful, happy lesson as we consider. As we look in 1 Peter, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read this scripture, but we'll be speaking on these. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be going through verses 3 and verse 25. As we consider the writing here, the glory of our salvation, the epistles, both first and second epistle of Peter, we must come to mind exactly what was going through the Christians' world at that time. And we find there in Peter's writing is that the saints and brothers and sisters in Christ were going through a great deal of persecution. A great many were even persecuted out of their homes into foreign areas, foreign lands. And be a trying time. My oldest son, he just moved this past weekend over to Morris, Illinois. It's a new area for him. And it always brings about difficulties and trials and challenges that we have. But, of course, he's moving closer to work. But we see this was written against a background where saints were dealing with a great deal of persecution. Rome was in power, dispersing all the Christians. This morning we're going to look at our wonderful salvation that we have. Now, I don't know about you, as I was telling Sister Deborah coming back here to the building this morning, you know, I'm a peaceable person. I like peace. I savor peace. And truly, that's kind of what I see the glory of salvation is. It's peace from this old world. So, as we consider the glory of our salvation is seen in its very character, as we read there in 1 Peter 3 through 12. As we're told there in verse 4, you may notice that we have a great inheritance there. Now, I don't know about some of you. Maybe your mom and dad's got some money put away, and you know that once they're gone, that maybe you're likely to inherit that. And that gives you some peace and comfort, doesn't it? Well, we have that peace and comfort through our hope of salvation we have in our Lord, because we have this inheritance from our Heavenly Father that we can wipe away all the toils and the trials and the cares of this low and sinful world and go into a place that is beyond description, a place of glory, a place of peace, a place of no pain, no defilements, no sin, nothing but peace and joy and love throughout all eternity. We see that in the very character of our salvation in our Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but I like those days when I have that peace. I find comfort there. And I find the opportunity to reflect inwardly and feel good. you know what? That's what our salvation does for us. Helps us have that peace and comfort of knowing we're doing good. We know that this is not just a short-term thing like we have here upon this little land, but our inheritance is incorruptible. It's not going to rust. It's not going to decay. It's not going to disappear. It's forever, throughout all eternity. What a blessing we have. I mean, I can't even begin to describe what that would be like. Also, we see that our great inheritance is an inheritance that's not defiled. There's no defilement to it. It's pure. It's holy. It's just. What a wonderful thing to know that there in heaven, our eternal home, I can't even begin to imagine. Also, we see that this inheritance, the hope of our salvation, is unending. It's never going to fade out. You know how you buy that new car? You like that. Cadillac Escalade. Get a nice, big, fancy car here. It's a beautiful car, you know. But, you know, you drive down the road, especially up through East Chicago and Gary and Chicago area, it kind of gets beat and banged up and begins to get a rattle here and there, and pretty soon, it's not that wonderful, is it, anymore? But that's not going to be our inheritance. Our inheritance is going to be unfaded, unending, undiminishing throughout all eternity. Can you imagine something like that? You know, they talk about Disney World, right? Being a great place. Oh, our salvation means so much more than that. Also, we see our great inheritance is reserved in heaven. Thank goodness it's not here on this little land. But we have the hope of heaven. To be in heaven with the Heavenly Father, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit being right there. Can you even begin to imagine? I can't. But we know that our salvation is hinged right there. If we've been obedient, and if we've been faithful, we can be assured of that. It is protected in time. You know, we're very time bound here, aren't we? You know, we're looking at the clock and we say, well, we got about 27 and a half minutes yet for the preacher to be up there. And we're bound by, oh, tomorrow's Monday, that means I got to get up and go to work, right? We're bound creatures here with time, but in heaven, there is no time. It's all eternity. Non-ending. What a wonderful thing. So, as we look at salvation, the character of it, the very glory of our salvation is seen in its awesome greatness. I know Diane doesn't like when you use the word awesome, but it's so fabulous, I can't even begin to describe how beautiful it is, how great it is to know that the Almighty looked down upon us, the low sinful creation that He made. He says, I love these people, and I want them with me. So He sent His Son, perfect, to come to this land, to take on this stinking fleshly form, to walk upon this cruel and unloving land. He did that for us. His Son came, lived that life of His perfect unblemished, became that ultimate sacrifice by shedding His blood for our sins. Yes, that is great, isn't it? We just remembered and surrounded this table. I hope and pray that every day we surround our lives with that very thing. One thing about it, as you look in verse 10 there of 1 Peter 1, we see that it is the very subject of the great prophets of the time of old, this salvation, this plan that God had for us. We also see that it was the subject of the Spirit of Revelation, the Holy Spirit, proclaimed and talked about the great salvation to come. And we also see the apostles' teaching, great apostolic preaching done there in verse 12. They proclaimed it. And we see even the angels proclaimed it. There is this great salvation for all who will take care of it. So we must recognize just how glorious our salvation really is. Now tomorrow I'll go in for my typical review of my CT scan each year. Next day, I go in and see an optometrist about this cataract I got in my eye. But you know what? Our salvation, heaven, will be so glorious. You don't have to worry about any of those things. We get so caught up in the physical things, don't we? The pretty things, the things here and now, I want it, I need it, I got to have it, John, you know. But what do we really want? I hope and pray you want salvation. Live eternal. So, the glory of salvation is seen in the very fruit of our hope, of that salvation. There's three challenges to Christians as we look there in verse 13. Number one is, gird up your loins. And that means prepare for battle. Get ready for battle. That's not what they used to do when they were getting ready to go into a fight. They'd gird up their loins, get their ropes tight around them so they could fight. But gird up the loins of your mind. And you know what? This gray matter up here, I don't know about you, but it gets me in trouble from time to time when I start thinking. And you know, we need to gird up the loins of our mind, realizing the great, grand, and glorious beauty and blessing we have in the plan of salvation. We also are told we need to be sober. Realize that this is a very solemn thing as we're considering here. Because we are talking about throughout all eternity. So, we need to be sober about it. It needs to be taken seriously. It's not something that's very flippant. It is something we need to thoroughly be convinced in and have a yearning for and a desire for. You love God? God loves you. Also, thirdly, we need to set our hope upon that grace that is to come. Because I tell you what, right now, if you're pinning your hope on that great retirement here, I don't know. They talked about the golden years, guys. I haven't found any gold yet. So don't deceive yourselves. Set your hope on that grace and that love that is to come. Because this all here is nothing. Also, we're told, the glory of our salvation is seen in the call to fear. Fear. I don't like talking about fear much, but it is necessary. Christians are to fear God. And you know what? I think that's exactly what's the downfall of this nation today, is people have lost the fear of the Almighty. They think they have a better way. But we need to have fear of God. For we all will be judged one day. Also, we are to remember that we have been a redeemed people. We didn't do it on our own. We don't get salvation on our own. It is through the grace and mercy of God and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was poured out on that cruel cross that we can be redeemed people in the eyes of the Lord. Yes? And we were foreknown. God has had this plan since the very beginning of time. He loves you. He wants you with him throughout all eternity. So thereby we have this glorious plan of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Also, we see as Christians we are to have full of faith and full of hope. Mentioned there in verse 21. Of this glorious salvation. You know, a lot of people look at Christians saying, there are a bunch of people who have been weaned on dill pickles. They're just so sour and puckered up, you know. But a Christian should not be that way. Recognizing the great glory we have in our salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes you feel better. Also, as we consider the glory of our salvation in his great love. And what is this love? Well, the love is a nurture of this love is what they call agape love. It is not just something superficial. It is something very intimate, very near and dear that God holds for each and every one of us. And we should in return hold to him. A love that goes beyond just that is superficial. But a love that is intimate, endearing, everlasting, unbreakable. An agape love. A love that is sincere. How many fathers do you know will take one of their children and crucify them for a sinner? God's love for us is very sincere. How else have we been able to continue having his word preserved down to this point in time? He loves us. He wants us to know him and to be with him. We also see the degree of love. God gave his very own son. Yes. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. God did it yesterday. He'll do it today. And he'll do it tomorrow, if there is tomorrow. It's very fervent love. He wants you to be his child. The source of this love is a pure heart, as we should have pure hearts to him. So, the reason for this love is that we might have the proper hearts, the purified souls, that when that day of judgment comes, in Hebrews 9 and 27, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He wants us to be prepared at that time that we might have purified souls, that we might have the glory of the salvation he has deemed. So, Peter tries to encourage the Christian by telling them of what they have in Christ. And brethren, there's not enough hours in the day to describe the many blessings that we have in him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We also see, knowing of how great salvation is, can be a big help in overcoming the trials and tribulation of this stinking life. Some days. Now, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be flippant like that, but you know, some days this life is not very pleasant. But with this hope, this glory, this salvation that we have, I don't know about you, but it helps me through. Why it's so important, brethren. As you come of age and begin to understand a little bit of life and what God's Word has to say to you, that you begin to realize that you need help. In those times of trials and tribulations, because this old life doesn't get any easier. Number one, Christians have a great inheritance and a great hope. Can you say that this morning? You can't say it if you've not been obedient unto the Lord by putting him on in baptism, dedicating yourself to him, giving him that agape love, a love that be unending throughout this life and throughout all eternity. We must have a call to be reverent, to realize and recognize the great I am, to know who is in charge, to know who knows better, and that we should love the truth, which, Lord willing, I may talk about that a little bit tonight. Kind of a funny thing. I asked the boys in class this morning, do you like to know that people are telling you the truth? Oh, yeah, yeah. I love to hear the truth. But let me ask you something else, though. How often do you find yourself that you don't want to hear that truth? Well, yeah. Wanting the truth and hearing the truth, two different things. We need to love that truth. The truth that we have in God's Word. The truth that we have in one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I was away last weekend being ill, and you miss it. I miss not being here with y'all because I do love you. I don't know how you love me some days, but I do love you. So glad to have y'all. So, as we consider the glory of the hope of our salvation, it is one that we need to take seriously. If you've not obeyed the gospel, I tell you what, I'd like to encourage you to, because it makes your life a whole lot better. Now, maybe you've obeyed the gospel years past, but you maybe wandered away a little bit. You know what? You still have the hope of glory and salvation. You need to come back to him while you still have time and opportunity. If there's anyone here not obeyed the gospel, I'd like to encourage you to do so. If you've obeyed the gospel, I'd like to encourage you to remain faithful throughout the end of your life. Because there's nothing greater than the hope of our salvation in Christ. If anyone has a need, if you would, please come forward while together we stand and sing number 593.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us hasten, oh, haste to the brain.
Satan be hanged.